As we open your word today, God, I ask that each one of us will be tender towards you, and that we know that you guide us and you direct us and you lead us and help us to know exactly what that means, and help us to be good followers of your direction. Your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, so Mark 1:40 through 45 starts on page 1,528 in the Pew Bibles.
We don't have a
Pew Bibles are all hidden, so you're on your own.
Sorry.
Play hide and seek, try to find them. Anyway, the words will be up on the screen for the most part. Peasants and paparazzi. It's kind of, this is an interesting passage to me. There's this guy that has leprosy, and if you have leprosy, you were supposed to be banished from the community. You're not supposed to be close to anyone. This guy runs up to Jesus and gets on his knees in front of him and begs him to if you're willing, will you heal me? And he's violating all sorts of social norms. He's like, he shouldn't be there. Shouldn't be doing any of this. And Jesus' response to him is beautiful, and he ends up demonstrating his love and his compassion and heals the gentleman. And he asks him not to tell anybody. And then this guy goes out and tells everybody. He doesn't follow the instruction of going to the priest and explaining to the priest that he's been healed by Jesus. Would have been a good testimony to the priest, to these Jewish priests at that time thought Jesus was a heretic. And it's like, okay, he's healed somebody, and this would have been a good example to them. But it also would have been the proper thing to do. You follow the Old Testament, and that was what needed to be done. You'd bring an offering, and you would be declared by the priest, who is kind of like the health inspector, that you truly have been healed, and now you can go back into society, and it won't be a problem. You don't have to hide out like you were supposed to do, and you weren't doing anyway.
So, don't wear a mask anymore.
Yeah. Don't have to wear a mask anymore. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. So here's a situation that it's kind of. He tells everybody, and because he goes out and starts telling everybody, Jesus had to hide out, and find remote places to be, because he couldn't be seen in any of the cities, because he kept being mauled by the paparazzi. They would be coming after him. They wanted to see. What's the next miracle? What's the next thing that's going to happen? And they were following him. Anytime they saw him, they'd follow him everywhere. Even as he's hiding out in remote places, they went and found him. And so that's kind of where this ministry thing is going. Going back to part of last week's, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. This was after he'd healed Simon's mother-in-law. And then... after dark, all the people, and why would it be after dark? Well, it's because they had to wait till after dark for them to be able to religiously be able to start going around again, because then the Sabbath was over. So now they can go and start traveling. So immediately after dark, they go to Simon's house, and at the door, Jesus is there healing people. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. So this is kind of the setting that's been going on. And then, of course, Jesus found a quiet place. And the disciples came and found him, said, everybody's looking for you. He says, yeah, let's go somewhere else. You know, because he never was about trying to build this big following. He wasn't trying to, I think today religious leaders, like, everybody's looking for you. Oh, great, good. Let's have an ad. Let's give out some surprises, and everybody can join our church, and now it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and bigger isn't always better. So I kind of like this little community with little congregation. It all works. I think Jesus would be very comfortable here and would come in here and be able to heal some of us. Some of us need emotional healing. Some of us need spiritual healing. Some of us might need physical healing, and Jesus would show up and do that. And if he could do that without having thousands of people trying to barrel down on him, he could kind of relax. And so how do we minister? How are we supposed to demonstrate the love of Jesus? Somebody came through here this week and was just really over the top about his mission. And his mission wasn't so much for something, but was against a lot of stuff. And, you know, against Mormons, against Catholics, against this, that, and the other thing. And, and he was very exuberant and over the top, and it didn't really help me want to, you know, rush in there with him. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Is this what Jesus would do? Jesus isn't going to be going around telling everybody everything they're doing wrong. Although, you know, to be fair, he did that with the religious leaders. If you know some religious leaders that are being too religious, maybe we're instructed to follow Jesus' example. I think we need to be careful there, and not do it with our own self-righteousness and our own interior holiness. I think it's got to be from God if we're going to start bringing down hellfire and damnation. Just a thought. I mean, even when his disciples would say, hey, should we call down fire from heaven? Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm about. So, anyway, he's healing all these people. This is all going on. He starts going to different places. And as they're traveling from city to city in this region of Galilee, a man with leprosy came to him, begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. How many of us, when we approach God, that's kind of our attitude. We know that you're all powerful. We know that you can do anything. But do you really care? Are you willing? We know you could heal. Will you? We know that you can change my heart. Are you willing? And I think that that's maybe a legitimate question. I mean, we see a lot of people that aren't healed around us. And we see individuals that even though it looks like they're seeking, nothing seems to be happening in their lives. Think, for me, when I start thinking about this guy with leprosy shows up and he's unclean, and it's like the same thing now with the pandemic. You know, you got somebody, they come up to you and cough in your face and say, yeah, I just tested positive. Okay, what's your feeling there? I mean, are you going to want to be real close to them, or are you going to want to run the other way? And the reality is, you know, that most of the time we can be infected by those around us, whether we're talking about physical health infections or we're talking about even sin infections. In Proverbs 22, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself snared. It's like, how many of us, when we're hanging out with somebody angry, it gets us angry? That seems to be, again, the whole mentality of the news media right now. You know, court says something, it's like you've got two sides and both sides are trying to get their people angry. And it's just human nature. And we've got to be careful of that. I think that you know, there's enough warnings in Scripture about, you know, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to think differently than the world thinks. We have to think differently than we're inclined to think. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we really want to know what God's will is, hanging out with the world and being worldly isn't how we're going to find that out. But staying away from being conformed to the pattern of the world. That's like, okay, if you were Jell-O and you get put in a Jell-O mold, and then it hardens and coagulates, guess what you're going to look a lot like? That Jell-O mold. Well, that Jell-O mold is the world, and most of us are kind of like Jell-O when we wander around in life, and we're easily influenced, we're easily formed into whatever's going on around us. So, you know, the caution is, don't do that. Let your mind be renewed. How are you going to have a renewed mind? Well, God is willing to do that for us. He'll give us a different way of thinking, a different approach to life. 1 Corinthians, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That's in quotations, and that's not a quote from Scripture. That was actually one of the poets and authors back then in first century that Paul is quoting. And it's like, bad company corrupts good character. We've probably all heard that. And it's kind of, you know, it's one of those truisms that came from a worldly document. And Paul says, yeah, this is truth. It really is this way. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Now, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, much of why Paul wrote to the church in Corinth is because they were being worldly. They were thinking like the world. They were doing worldly things. When they had communion, it's like the rich people would come in early and have big meals and get drunk. And then the poor people would come in and kind of be outsiders. And there was the us and them mentality in the church. And there was a lot of other issues in that church. And they had problems. And Paul writes 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians trying to correct a lot of those issues. So we look through those two epistles, those letters, and we can kind of see a lot of problems that are still in today's church and maybe in our hearts. And so things that we can consider, you know, this concept of bad company corrupting good character. We can say, yeah, well, he's a good person or I'm a good person, but then who are you hanging out with? And is that infecting you? Like the leper comes up to Jesus and it's like, okay, if Jesus was just a normal human, that was totally wrong. This leper shouldn't have done that. And yet he came seeking after Jesus. Why would he do that? Because he'd heard about the rumors that, you know, this guy's going around and he's healing people. Did you hear what happened at Simon's house? It's like first he heals his mother-in-law and then everybody comes to the door and he's healing all kinds of people and casting out demons and he's doing all this stuff and he's making people clean and he's making them whole. And so he comes, he didn't say, will you heal me? He says, can you make me clean if you're willing? So a man with leprosy, he comes to him, begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The New International Version, the 1984 New International Version says that Jesus was moved with compassion. And most other translations that you find will say something like that. Jesus filled with compassion, moved with pity, filled with pity. And then there's this New International Version now. Jesus was indignant. And I was trying to figure out that doesn't sound anything like the same thing. They're like opposites. So I tried to do a lot of research on that. Apparently the older, more reliable documents would be more on this. Jesus was angry. He was indignant. He was upset. It doesn't tell us why, and there's speculation as to he was angry because Satan is the one that's bringing disease and leprosy and illness and all that stuff, and so he was angry at Satan. That's one recollection. I think he may have just been a little bit upset about it. It's like, okay, this guy's coming to me, and he doesn't really care about trying to meet me. He knew what the outcome was going to be. He's going to heal him anyway. He's moved with compassion. That part's still true. That's still there. Whether it said he was moved with compassion or not, his actions demonstrate compassion. But it's like, you know, if you're going to go to a call in there, it's a frequent flyer, you know, for the fire department, and the same person having the same problem over and over and over again, you still go and serve them. And you try to do it without judgment in your heart. But there may be some times it's like, okay, why are we having to do this again? Because that person's too stubborn to get the help they really need. And that, you know, and that's the reality. I mean, we can do that with our friends. It's like, okay, she called me again. Why? Because she just did the same thing that I told her not to do. So it's like, you know, we can go through that again and again and again. And we can be indignant and a little bit upset maybe and still demonstrate compassion and help meet the need. It can be both. It doesn't have to be either or. It really does almost feel like opposites. But I think as the translations were brought forward, the older and supposedly more reliable translations had something more like Jesus was angry, Jesus was indignant. I think it was probably difficult for people to, as they're translating this going forward, to reconcile, okay, he's angry, and so he heals the guy. It's like, yeah, I'm angry, I'm going to give you exactly what you just asked for. Okay. But maybe there's some of that too. Do you know that in Romans it talks about how God will turn us over to a reprobate mind? If we're not willing to change our hearts and change our minds, God will give us what we're asking for, even knowing that it's probably not going to be good, that the outcome won't be great. So we've got to be careful again, you know, having a renewed mind, not being molded and formed by the world, So Jesus either was indignant or Jesus was filled with compassion, or both. I think both. He reached out his hand and touched the man. He's violated all sorts of things here. He should have been trying to do social distancing. The rule was, if the guy is downwind from you, 6 feet away. If he's upwind from you, 150 feet. It was, you know, you stay back away from these people. And leprosy meant a lot of different things in scripture. It's some sort of skin disease. It probably was Hansen's disease, where basically they lose all feeling, so they don't know that they're injuring themselves. And that's where they get an injury and it gets infected, and they end up having all kinds of issues where, you know, once the infection kicks in, it can kind of start eating away at their flesh. And this was the type of leprosy that probably is indicated here, because he's talking about being clean or unclean. So it wasn't just psoriasis or eczema or something, you know, it's probably a little bit more than that. Although those would have been categorized in the category of leprosy at the time also. So Jesus reaches out his hand, he touched the man. Exactly the opposite of most of us wouldn't be like, okay, yeah, you've got this terribly contagious disease, I think I'll touch you. And he says, I am willing. Be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him. And he was cleansed. That's kind of like, okay, I like that kind of healing. If you know, okay, this is going to take, you know, 25 treatments, and then maybe you'll be better, and then we'll have some therapy after that if it's successful, or if it's not, we'll do another round of antibiotics, or, you know, that's usually when we go to try to get healing from a doctor, there's a long process. Jesus is a creator, and it's like, be clean. And immediately, it's done. And the guy would have known the difference. And everybody around him would have seen the difference. He's whole, he's clean. Now, this is probably a disease too, that if he had just kind of naturally, normally been cleansed, even, you know, through medical care, he would have not had any energy. He would have, you know, been just, he wouldn't have been in good health and good shape. And now he's like, everything's perfect, and he's jumping and running around. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. And this, you know, the language in the Greek, it's pretty severe. It's like, again, when it says Jesus was indignant, this kind of would follow along in that path. It's like he's knowing what this guy's going to do, and he's telling him, don't do it. Just very strong warning, you know, and this is, he's not holding back, he's not pulling punches. It's like, see that you don't tell this to anyone. Go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. And so you're supposed to go and be a testimony to the priest, because these are people that really need to see this message. Now, Jesus, when he was interacting with the Jewish priests and the leaders of the religious groups at that time, he oftentimes had conflicts with them, because he knew that their hearts weren't where they were supposed to be. We need to be careful. We're not just religious. Okay? Knowing the right answers and living the right answers are two different things. And Jesus was always more concerned about the heart than anything else. And when he tells them this, this would have been a testimony to them, to the religious leaders, to the priests. You go and you show them. This is what is commanded in scripture. You go and you explain to them, I've been healed. Instead, how many of us would get a word from God and the next transitional word is, instead, Lord, forgive us. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet, the people still came to him from everywhere. And they found him. And, you know, it's hard to hide when everybody's willing to say, hey, he's over here. You ever play hide and seek with a friend that's trying to turn you in? Like, okay. The point in which way? Like the drug dealers near our daughter's school. If some kid ran away from school, police are looking for this kid. They find out, you know, kid's missing. Drug dealers, he went that way. They would direct him in the correct way because they wanted to make sure, you know, catch the kid, leave us alone. We're not here to harm anyone. That sort of thing. The people, they found out where Jesus was and they would come to him. And this is one of those things where I've never had to deal with like paparazzi other than one school class I had. It was one of those things where all of the parents kind of had multiple cameras and they would show up at every event. This was a class that if we had a field trip, there would be maybe 25 kids and 40 parents. And all the parents would be photographing every motion. And I mean, these poor kids were the center of their families' lives. And it was just one of those weird things. But at that time, I believe most of them had been born kind of right around 9/11. You know, that time period and other instances where it's like, okay, as they're coming up through the school, this is their parents have felt vulnerable, and so they spent their whole time trying to just dote on these kids. And so that was one of those situations where it kind of felt weird. You know, you knew you were going to have 500, 1,000 pictures of you by the time this day's over, and you know, I would have been happy to hide out somewhere. But Jesus, you know, he's going to a remote place, not because he's not wanting to spread the word or share the message, but because he wanted to be able to prolong his ministry till it was God's time for him to go to the cross. He would spend years here in the Galilean region, going from community to community and trying to teach. And his main ministry wasn't healing. That was kind of what he's getting known for here. And that's what people kept wanting to follow him around because of this whole healing thing. When really what he wanted to do was minister to their hearts and to help people have life changes, which when scripture talks about we as Christians are going to do greater things than Christ did. And then you read, you know, when John says, you know, if all of the things that he'd written, all of the things that he'd done had been written down, there wouldn't be room in the earth for these books. There was so much that he had done just during a short ministry time. And yet, scripture says, we're going to do greater things. What is that? You know, thankfully, we don't have paparazzi following us around. We don't have crowds trying to gather and get to us. But what we can do is when people want to talk to us about Jesus, we can share that. We can help open their minds so that they can be renewed as well, so that they can have open hearts and just know the peace that surpasses understanding. Know the mercy that when the leper comes up to Jesus and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It's like, yeah, we know that Jesus, and he is willing. He's very willing to make people clean. And nobody is so bad that they can't be touched by God. I know we've had a lot of people have mentioned to both Kathy and I that they're too bad. That if they came into the church, the building would fall down, and they're just such terrible people. And it's like, no, I've been in the building. It hasn't fallen on me. It's like every one of us. We know what we've been saved from. We know that without Christ, my heart would be bent, crooked, dirty, broken, whatever else can describe the uncleanness of our nature if we don't have Jesus. But with Jesus, all things are possible. With Jesus, we can do all things. And we can be open about it. We don't have to hide out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this example of your goodness and your mercy. We know that you can touch and cleanse anybody with any situation, with any physical, mental, emotional, spiritual ailment, and we know we can trust you, Lord God. Thank you. Amen.